So I want to begin by doing something especially unusual. I was at a faculty meeting this past Friday, and we had a contractor who came in, and we had to go through a whole litany of paperwork because of some new program that they are incorporating into the curriculum. And so this contractor had an unusual way of starting the program, and she started with a fun little exercise, and it moved on my heart because of the message that the Lord had had placed on my heart this morning, and I think I want to play that game with you. So, and since the kids are up here, they can participate too, so it's a wonderful thing. Now, here's the scenario. You're asked to spend a year on a deserted island. You get the picture? Right? You're asked to spend a year on a deserted island. There's no one there. And you are allowed only three things to bring with you. Catching the picture? You get to bring one luxury item. You get to take one book, not the Bible. And you get to bring one piece of music. It could be an entire album, or it could just be a song. So now that you have that sort of saturating within you, I'm going to pick out some folks who I want to name you those three items. Ready? You ready for this? All right, Tim, you're ready. So what's your luxury item? Okay, waffle iron. And you get a book? No, you got to do all three. You got to do all three. So you get to, so you want the waffle iron as your luxury item. So what's the book that you would bring? Any book, not the Bible. Okay. Okay, and a piece of music. Anything that comes to mind? Okay, there we go. There we go. All right. Well, amen. Thank you for your participation. Well, today's message is about exploiting God's uniqueness in you. Exploiting God's uniqueness in you. When I said the message has already been preached, I meant it. Because we heard Todd, and then I whispered to my wife when I had an opportunity to get back there, that Lord has took my message. And because I wanted to emphasize that as believers, we no longer are the ones living, but it is Christ in us who lives. Amen? So when we are exploiting Christ's uniqueness in us, it is exploiting God who is living in us, his unique way of stirring our individual senses, our individuality, our own humanity. He meets us where we are. We are unique to him. And when we look at each other, we see a unique godly trait within that person. That God, that is God's trait. It is God's uniqueness that is being displayed in that person. Amen? So we want to try and look at that very quickly, because the message has already been preached about how we, and I really am saying this from the bottom of my heart, that I consider all of us here, even children, leaders. We are champions, as you would say, for Christ. A generation that has been raised up and is being raised up to challenge the status quo and to lead other people into the presence of God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and just look very quickly at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And reflecting on exploiting Christ's uniqueness in us. It is He who lives in us once we are now His believers and not we in and of ourselves. We have been dead to sin and have been made alive in who? In Christ. Amen. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you." By the way, that's all of you. Okay? Those who have worked hard among you, I believe each of you who is following God's deep desire after your heart and are daily improving that desire, that seed that He has planted within your heart that's growing, that is hard work. It's hard work sometimes to be obedient to the cross and to be obedient to Christ. It's hard work because we are always seemingly wrestling with our flesh on a daily basis with a desire to strongly follow after the heart of God, okay, and to be obedient. So, now we ask you, brothers and sisters and children, to respect those who work hard among you, so we have respect among each other, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Now, I like the Message's version of this, so I'll read it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, the Message says, "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders, and you all are leaders." I'm looking at it from the vantage point where all of us here, if Christ is living in you, you are a leader. If only to bring others to Christ, that makes you a leader. And you are unique in the sense that you are a child of God who can testify of His goodness and the gospel, this good news that He has sown within you, and a desire for you to unleash that to those who have not yet received Him. And you are leading the way in fulfilling the Great Commission in that sense. You are all leaders. You hear that, kids? You are all leaders. Amen? Can we say amen to that? So the Message says, "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience." I think a perfect example of this is this poem that had been read to Gwen today. The fact that we are given the responsibility of urging and guiding each other along in Christ's obedience. In Christ's obedience. We are called to lift each other up unto the Lord. Amen? We are called to help guide, to help instruct even, to help motivate. And Pastor Dan is the epitome of motivation. Oh my goodness. The words that comes out of Pastor Dan's mouth, it can only illuminate, it could only lift one up. And when he says words like, You don't even have to say anything. Just by my seeing you, you motivate me. You lift me up. I mean, sometimes we need to hear stuff like that. We need to hear those kinds of words because that lifts our spirit as well. And there are many of us who are in here who play roles, unbelievable roles, behind the scene that make such an impact in guiding our hearts and mind to the Lord. Those of you, all of you, who are leaders, the very notion that we have a Joshua who is encouraging his brother Nehemiah is exactly the intent on God's heart for leaders. And that is a unique trait that God has put in each of our hearts. To observe and look at differently. Even Jennifer Anderson had a unique, wonderful leadership trait. And it caused us to pause and think about even our own Christian lives. I mean, the things she would get excited about, so simple. The fact that she would get a phone call in the middle of the week from Linda Schweitzer or from Linda Kozarich or from anyone among you, she genuinely was so delighted. She had never heard of anything like that. And it was a genuine expression that really helped to lift up her heart to the Lord. That's something that we sometimes even take for granted. And then that reminds us of the simplicity of what God has in mind for us as believers. Each one of us can play our role in lifting up the other person and guiding that person directly back to the cross. We all have times and moments where we could use some of that uplifting, where we could use some of that guidance so that we continue on that path which the Lord has called us in. The directive for that little game that we just played is to demonstrate that for each of you, your answers were different from the others. Those were things that were precious to your hearts. Those were things that you would not want to do without because they mean much to your heart. And in each of you and I, we have those traits that mean so much to us. And it is God who has seeded that within us. And it is those very things that He will use you to inspire others in and for and through. Those very things that you have no problem with whatsoever. Just using those natural gifts that you enjoy within yourself so much to harbor is what God wants you to unleash to the max for others. When I think of, and I'm going to pick on Pastor Dan, when I think of Pastor Dan and his gift of motivation, that is a gift from the Lord, he never wastes a moment of using that gift. He uses it to the max. And that is the message for all of us today. Whatever gift that the Lord has instilled with you, use it to the max till it overflows into the life of others. Amen? Use whatever gift the Lord has placed within you, leaders, as a gift to inspire, as a gift to motivate, as a gift to uplift, filled to overflowing, that it might be contagious for others, maybe contagious in others. That's the way I believe God is calling us to live out our lives. In simplicity, in humility, and in unity among each other. I have a PowerPoint, just one slide, that expresses something that is a bit extreme for what I have in mind, but I think at the basic level, it shed lights a little bit more on what I mean. This is a picture of how a cell is replicated in the host DNA, okay, in the nucleus of a cell. And this example is extreme because I'm using an HIV viral RNA that is then converted into a DNA, and how that cell, and it's the only virus that does this, replicates into the host DNA. It actually attacks your immune system, which is sort of the police force of your body, and it attacks diseases and viruses, well, the HIV attacks it, right? And that usually doesn't happen. And what happens is, at the top, what you'll see is a strand inside of a cell. That's called an RNA strand. And what it does, in a simplified version, is that it attaches itself to a receptor. Okay, this is when it is trying to make more copies of itself. So it looks like and mimics a perfectly healthy cell on the outside. If you should look at the cell membrane, it would look as if it's a healthy cell. And that's why it's able to evade some T helper cells that are specifically designed to kill it, okay? Because it looks like them. But inside of this HIV cell, it's carrying a virus. And what it does, in order to replicate itself, it attaches to a receptor, and then it deposits its strand at the very top of the big circle. You see it depositing that RNA strand so that it could be synthesized, okay, by some process in genetics called the central dogma, but we don't have to worry about it. And it's also referred to as reverse transcriptase. We don't care about that. But it deposits its what's inside of itself, okay, to bind, to integrate and bind with your DNA in the nucleus or the center of your cell to make copies of itself. Okay, we can kind of, and then it forms new ones down here. Okay, so we can turn that off now. The point of all of that is this, that in our hearts, what God has already sown within our hearts, what our hearts are carrying as a burden, but not a burden in the sense, it's more like an oracle, not a burden in the sense that it's burdensome, but it's a happy burden, if you will, right? It's an urge within us that we're desiring to exploit for God, okay, that it might be contagious for others. So we are carrying these gifts within us. Okay, that is like that RNA that is within us. And God is watering it. God has placed all the nutrients in order for it to grow within us. That's us reading the Word, being in the Word, being in prayer before the Lord. The Lord has identified something that we're excited about as believers that we wouldn't mind sharing with others. That root, that has taken root in our hearts and is starting to grow. And very soon, that strand within us, as we begin to reach out and search after God's heart for us as believers, we come in contact with other cells. We come in contact with other people. And out of the abundance that is within us, that has been welling up within us, a deposit has been made from our hearts, from what has been stirring up within our hearts, and deposited right into that other person. And the intent is that it may be contagious and it would bear much more fruit. That it will replicate, and it's not a virus that is intended to kill us. It's not a virus at all. It's a good contagion. It's a contagion that is being unleashed for the betterment of one's heart, mind, body, and soul. That's who we are as leaders who are helping to guide, who are helping to uplift, who are helping to instruct each other. So do not allow your words of wisdom and knowledge, the prompting that God has on your heart each Sunday, if it's not a Sunday, whatever setting you're in, if you're at work, Do not resist and quench the Holy Spirit as He's speaking in your heart about a certain situation, but allow the wellspring from within you, that unique gift that God has placed within you, for you, but also for others, to well up to overflowing, that it may spill forth into lives that need it at that very moment. That's what New Testament Christianity is about. In fact, when we go back to the first century and you look at the hearts of the disciples, that was really what they cared about. And that's why they had those home groups that we now call flock groups. And God didn't care who was being used. If He called a man and that man was not obedient, He used a woman. If He called a woman and that woman was not obedient, He would call a child. God is no respecter of persons, but His desire is for us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, to tap into that special, unique character that is Him in you living. God has so many character traits, facets, that is so wonderful and beautiful, and you've all shared differences in what you would bring to that island because you have tapped into an inner well that's within your heart of what is important to you. And I want you to recognize that God is the one who has put that there. And it is for your uplifting, but it's also to the uplifting, or for the uplifting of those who you might come in contact with. And kids, you know why this is important for you as well? Because at school, when you get into certain situations, there is a wellspring that is already flowing within you. And if you're ever caught in a bad situation, the Lord will prompt on your heart what to do next. And it is up to you, and I have no doubt that you will be obedient to what God has in your heart in that moment for that situation to glorify His name. It's for kids and it's for the adults that we who now live, live Christ. Christ lives in us. We were practicing a song recently, and it's called Narrow Road, and there's a part to that song that we had to kind of ponder about. It said, "Let love shape us to your own design to bear our Maker's sign. Let love shape us to your own design to bear our Maker's sign." And so the question is, like, what is a Maker's sign? You know, is it one sign? Is it a particular sign? Like, what is it? What's the intent behind saying to bear our Maker's sign? And at first when I saw it, I was listening to the song, I'm thinking, wow, interesting. I mean, it sounds very poetic and stuff. And maybe that was the reason for the rhyme or the rhythm to flow that way. But it may have some deeper meaning. And I'm thinking, our God has such a huge character trait that His sign in you might be different from His sign in you. It all falls under the umbrella of love, as Vance so succinctly put it today, when he was reading the fruits of the Spirit, that those are all labored in love. And so we could even emerge everything about the Maker's sign and say, His sign is love. After all, that's why He came and died, for God so loved the world, and everyone in it, right, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the next verse says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Would be saved because of the love that he has for us. So we could say everything is embroidered around love or in love, and that would be perfectly fine to say God's sign, the maker's sign, is love. But I believe it's even more than that. It is all who he is. God isn't just love or perfect in love. He is perfect in peace. He is, in fact, peace. Without him, there is no peace. Right? There's only turmoil and war. So he is perfect in love. He's perfect in peace. He's perfect in righteousness. He's perfect in holiness. I mean, he's all those things. It's not just that he exudes all those things. He is all those things. To the fullness and to completion. So when we assess the maker's sign, we can assess what it is that the Lord has placed uniquely in us to shine for his kingdom and for his glory. Amen? That could be his sign for you to grow in his grace and goodness. It's just wonderful how it turned out this morning. And we've been singing and speaking even prophetically about God's love and how he cares for us and how we are living Christ. We are living Christ. I once heard a story, and I don't remember the name of the person. I think it probably was Constantine. Before he got converted, he would have all these affairs. Let's just put it like that. He wasn't a moral man. And when he got converted, he understood what that meant. And one day, as I've heard the story, he was walking and some other ladies were calling him, and Constantine didn't want to respond. And then finally, he responded and he said, "It is not I, it is Christ in I who is walking. The person you knew is no longer me. I am no longer this immoral or amoral person who would do these ungodly things. That is a man I no longer recognize because I am not the one who lives, but Christ in me who lives. And his character, whatever it is that is placed in me, that is what is going to shine." So, brothers and sisters, as we conclude today, make it a passion in your heart not to withhold what it is that God has so wonderfully and powerfully deposited in you. I am telling you, when Valerie was reading that poem, I was just like, wow. I mean, I needed to hear that too. I needed to hear your heart for Gwen. Because that blessed my heart. I need to hear your heart for other people. I need to hear what God has placed in your heart because it will indirectly bless me, uplift me, and place me back to the place where we should all be, at the foot of the cross, glorifying and thanking God for all he is and for all he has done. And he is faithful to accomplish whatever task he has set out to do. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah.